Oh, today it's all about axes and trees. Last November, during an ice storm, a huge tree actually fell in our yard. It was almost completely uprooted, laying on its side, its once proud branches scattered throughout the grass. One of the tree guys that came to give us an estimate for its removal told me that the tree was a couple of hundred years old, which made me feel kind of sad, as though history was being lost, and not only a tree. I mean, that tree had been there before I was born, before the house was built, before my grandparents were born, before there were electric chainsaws or motor vehicles or Bakerstown Road. It stood as a reminder that there had been a time when all of the land that we now live on had been covered with forest, before trees were cleared first for farms and then for neighborhoods. Because of their long lives, their size, and the fact that they don't move, ice storms notwithstanding, the Bible often uses trees as images for great kingdoms. For great kingdoms, like trees, last for generations. Great kingdoms, like trees, are stable, dependable, steady, not chaotic. When they grow up, a stable ecosystem, a way of life, can take place under their branches. They get bigger, of course, with every succeeding generation, and while sometimes a storm might come and tear away at the branches, or while sometimes a wise pruner might come and cut away or two so that the tree can be healthy, a tree with good roots will last for a very long time. Unless, of course, someone comes with an axe. Until a blade comes and cuts the tree down, which is what happened to the great tree, the great royal family tree of someone called King David, who was the son of a man named Jesse, who had a farm in a little town you may have heard of called Bethlehem. From his humble beginnings herding his father Jesse's sheep, David became king by God's own choice. God looked at his heart and saw his faith and promised to make him a king and that his descendants would inherit his throne. And for a little more than 400 years, indeed, just that happened. King David reigned and then Solomon after him, and grandsons and great-grandsons and great-great-great-great-great-grandsons after that, kings on the throne of kingdoms of Israel and Judah. But then the axe fell. Another kingdom arose, Babylon, and conquered Judah and sent the last of David's descendants into exile. And the prophet Isaiah in chapter 11 spoke not of the tree of David's house, but spoke rather of a stump. The stump of Jesse, his sheep-herding father, which should tell us just how completely Isaiah perceived that kingdom had been cut off, cut to the ground, a signal, a symbol of failure, a reminder of all that had been and would never be again. For trees, when they are cut down, are useful in symbols in this way. They cannot ever be rebuilt as they were. Not as a building can be. After it has been destroyed, a tree cannot be remade once it is cut down. And yet, says the prophet, from this stump will come a shoot. For beneath the surface of the ground, the roots of the tree are still nourished, and new life will come from the base of what appears to be failure. The promise of God, Isaiah declares, is still alive. The word of God feeding the roots of the stump. The word of God doing a new thing to bring a new rule and a new kingdom. In Advent, we hear these ancient words of Isaiah because we celebrate that that new thing, that shoot of Jesse, has come in Jesus, a descendant of David, not in the line born in royal palaces, but born in a place where animals sheltered, in Bethlehem, where his ancestor Jesse had a sheep farm. And with him, hope is born into the world, and because of him, we have hope in a kingdom in which there will be peace. But to understand this hope is to understand it not as a majestic tree that towers, but as a shoot that comes from a stump. In a world in which many of us experience the culture and the institutions around us to be changing, this image, I think, has a certain kind of resonance. For in any given week, in any given newspaper or website, you can open an article and read about something that's ending. The impeachment hearings this week have led many to wonder about what might be ending in our country's history of democracy. The environmental crisis is leading many to worry about what might be ending in terms of the stability of the climate, the food chain, and our way of life itself. Further down in smaller print, you can read about the pressures on small colleges, small businesses, and small churches, pressures that will force many of them to close. And in fact, a recent study by one of our seminaries in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America looked at the demographics and forecast the complete and total change, if not end, of our denomination in the next 35 years. Now, many of us don't experience that change in the form of statistics. We experience those changes, well, a little more slowly. Say, in a sense of frustration with our nation's common life expressed in Facebook comments or memes, or with the nagging sense that, well, Christmas just isn't like what it used to be. The services aren't as full as they were. We don't have to set out chairs in the overflow of space. And do younger people even sing Christmas carols anymore? And where will this all lead? The prophet, or I should say prophets, like Isaiah, and like John the Baptist, who it is said is the last of human prophets, never preached about hope by telling us that things don't end. Rather, Isaiah preaches about hope by first acknowledging that, in fact, there are such things as stumps. And John the Baptist preached about the reality of the axe. Big things end, and sometimes very good things end, and kingdoms rise and fall as do institutions and practices, and it's chaotic, for cutting down trees disrupts the ecosystem and the life around it. The prophets do not declare that there won't be ends that happen. What the prophets declare on God's behalf is a promise, a shoot, that comes out of the stumps, that God promises to nurture new life, and that that promise is eternal and it's lasting. And sometimes, especially when things are changing around you, you can't always see it because it's happening at the root level. But where God loves and where God speaks and where God sustains, and where plants put out their roots to draw nourishment from God's word, hidden in the ground, their goodness will grow. And for Isaiah, and so for us, Jesse's stump becomes an emblem of hope. One way a new kingdom is breaking forth into the world. That king, born not in a palace, but laid in a manger, was the fulfillment of God's promises to David in a way that David's grandsons and great-grandsons sitting on a throne in a palace could never have expected. And yet Jesus is, for us, God's unsurpassable clue as to what God's commitment to our world looks like. In a world in which endings are inevitable, and which many things are coming to an end, Isaiah gives us a picture of what we can hope for, a picture of what to look for in this Advent time as we wait the birth of our Savior. Listen to Isaiah's words again with a little bit of interpretation. They will teach us about the content of hope, about what to look for when it seems as though everything is changing. Isaiah's shoot, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, not anxiety and fear, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall not be in getting his own way or making himself powerful, but rather his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He will always know, this shoot, that he is part of something bigger than himself. When people try to get him to see things their way or share with him information that will only benefit them, he will not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with a sense of righteousness, he will judge for the poor and the meek. He will pay attention to their well-being and not just to those with access and privilege and power. He will not be concerned about whether or not he appears impressive. But righteousness and equity shall be his clothing. He will care whether his decisions are faithful and righteous, and in his rule and his reign, all people will find peace. These are the new things that Jesus brings: righteousness and faithfulness and equity and peace. And even when everything is changing around us, or when it seems that the kingdom we live in is being shorn, these are still things that we can look for as God's Advent people. For this is the life that comes from a tree that has been rooted in God. By God's promise, this new life will always spring up. Amen.